Hi, you're listening to the Sermon Podcast of Impact Church in Fredericksburg, Virginia. I'm Pastor Brandon, the church planter and lead pastor. We are a new church in the DC area that is centered on the gospel and sent to our neighborhoods, Northern Virginia, and the nations. Please visit our website at www.impactfxbg.church. There, you'll find our current meeting times and locations. Our prayer is that you are encouraged by the message you hear today and fall more in love with Jesus and others. Thanks for listening.
Well, good morning, church. How are y'all doing today? Amazing, amazing. Well, like Pastor Brandon said, my name is Nate, and I am excited to be able to serve here, not only as a member, but as one of the residents here, so that we truly believe that we are a church that is centered and sent, and we also believe that we like to celebrate empty seats. And so in about 3 to 4 years, we're so excited to be able to be sent out to the nations, to Northern Virginia and beyond, to be able to start a new church here for the nations. And so this morning, I'm excited to be able to have the privilege to be able to come to you this morning and open God's Word to be continuing our I Am series. So for the next 7 weeks, we've already heard from a few previous weeks that, is this me or is this something? I can switch your hand out if I need to. Just let me know. So we are excited to be continuing this I Am series. So we have heard these past couple of weeks, we have heard that Jesus in his ministry, leading up to what we're going to do in about 2 weeks, celebrating Easter, made a couple of statements about himself. He made a couple of statements, and we've been exploring, we're going to explore 7 of them. We've explored 4 this past week about who Jesus says that he is. We got things kicked off with Pastor Brandon teaching us that Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that we have to experience him as that. We also heard that he was the light of the world. And then 2 weeks ago, Pastor Wes, he taught us and walked us through how Jesus is the door. And then last week, Franklin, he walked us through this idea that Jesus says he is the vine. So this morning, I'm excited to be able to jump into our 5th I Am statement, and I'll give you the passage right now. We're going to be in John chapter 6. So if you look on your rows, we believe here at Impact that we are a church that doesn't just sit. We say we're a battleship, not a cruise ship, and one of the ways we do that is by engaging in worship together. And so every single time the Word of God is preached, we don't believe that that's a passive thing that people get to do. We believe that that's an active participation of God working in our lives. So one way that we let you be active in participating in God's Word is that we provide these response cards so that every single week there is a note-taking section and then there's a response card. So here's the beautiful thing about the note-taking section. We also say that we're a note-taking church. So the goal is, one of the goals, is that as you're going through and making disciples yourself, that if you have taken notes through all 7 of these I Am sermons that we're walking through, you now have a way to teach someone else through every single one of these I Am statements. So I would encourage you this morning, grab that response card, ask it from a neighbor, and let's take some notes together because, wow, God's Word is exciting. So this morning, we are going to talk about our next I Am statement, John chapter 6, and you can either look it up digitally on your phone, you can use a hard copy. We're going to be in the English Standard Version this morning, or the ESV for short. So if you don't have a Bible hard copy, you can look one up on your phone. It's an app called YouVersion, to where you can just scroll down to John chapter 6, and you can look it up and follow along there. But before we get into our passage this morning, I want to ask everyone a question. So how many of you in the room, you can raise your hand to answer, love to bake? Raise them high. Now, all right, you can put your hands down. Second question, how many of you in the room love to eat baked goods? Praise the Lord, amen, am I right? Baked goods are amazing. All right, let's go a little deeper. How many of you in the room, not only do you like to bake, but you use this thing called sourdough to bake? Raise your hands. Come on, that's hot. Raise them high. Raise them high. Let's see them. Okay, we got some people in the room, so look around. These are our sourdough bakers. So this morning, I have brought with us a friend right here. This is what is known as a sourdough starter. And it has a name. Its name is Alan. I will tell you why it's named Alan in a little bit. But here's how this sourdough thing works, is that you start with a sourdough starter, and you feed the sourdough starter. Now, this is Marissa's right here. I am not a sourdough baker. This is Marissa's, and it is named Alan. And here's what you do with Alan. And I'm actually super impressed with Alan today, because what you do is that you feed it, I think, by like putting flour in it and then like storing it in a cool, dark place. And then it begins to grow, literally. So literally, when I showed up here like 2 hours earlier this morning, Marissa had just fed it this morning. When I showed up, it was right here. Literally in just an hour and a half, 2 hours, it has already grown all the way up to here. And so in the middle of the sermon, if you see this thing like just start bubbling over, they tell me that's a good thing. And like someone just come up and like save Alan from spilling all over the place. But here's the wonderful thing. When you take your sourdough starter, I don't know how this works. I just reap the benefits. Eventually, you get this. If I say, ooh, if I say, ah, and you can make almost anything with sour, like almost anything. You'll have to fact check me on that later. But like you can like add some jalapenos and some cheese and this stuff. Like Marissa made sourdough cinnamon rolls with a homemade glaze, and it was just delightful. You get to turn this starter into delicious, amazing, wonderful bread. Now, I told you it's named Alan. See, as this stuff grows, like you can take the excess, you can start spilling it over. And this is how the sourdough group organization, I don't know if there's an official national organization for sourdough bakers, but if there is, like this is their process for inducting new members. You can then give some of your sourdough starter to someone else. And then the process just repeats itself. And so this sourdough starter is aptly named Alan because it originally came from our wonderful Pastor Wes, who, if you didn't know, his first name is actually Alan. Learn something new every day at church, don't you? If you call him Alan, he may not respond. We'll just have to test that theory after church. Feel free to test it after you want. Sorry, Wes. But this morning, here's where we're going. I am statements. Through this entire series, we want us to remember one thing. We want us to remember one thing, that when we move from knowing about Jesus to truly knowing Jesus, we begin to experience a personal relationship. This morning, our next I am statement is the one that Jesus says, for he is the bread of life. So we're going to be in John chapter number 6 this morning. And if you would like to turn, go ahead and turn there. Have I told you what verse yet? Nope, verse 22. Verse 22. So go ahead and find verse 22 of John chapter 6. Scroll there, turn there. We're going to be picking up in verse 22. We're going to be exploring most of the rest of the chapter today. And so if you're there, say, I'm there. Amazing. All right, verses 22, we're going to be reading the first couple of verses first, and then we're going to talk about these verses as we move through this passage today. The verse 22, John chapter 6. It says, on the next day, the crowd that remained on the other side of the sea saw that there had been only one boat there, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but that his disciples had gone away alone. Other boats from Tiberias came near the place where they had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. So when the crowd saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum, seeking Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Let me give you a little bit of context as to what has happened previously before this story. So if you go back and you start at John chapter 6, verse 1, you're going to read two different stories. You're going to read in the first part of John chapter 6 how Jesus literally took a couple loaves of bread and a couple fish, and he fed 5,000 people miraculously through just that small amount of food. And people were enjoying the food, not just a little bit each time, but they got full off of all of these loaves of bread and this fish. And it was just a miracle that God was able to do. So naturally, I mean, if someone just starts feeding 5,000 people at a time, well, I'm going to go where that person goes because who knows? I might get another meal out of it, right? This is the crowd's mindset. But Jesus says, I'm not staying here. I'm going to cross what's known as the Sea of Galilee. So if you look at a map of Israel, you'll see two little seas. You'll see the top one on the north and the bottom one on the south. The north one is the Sea of Galilee. And there's a little town called Capernaum that Jesus crossed over that sea to Capernaum. Although, fun fact, like I said, go read it for yourself. After he did this miracle, he went to Capernaum, but like he only took a boat like halfway, right? The first half, like he walked. Not around, like through, across the sea. It's the story of Jesus walking on water. And the disciples find him. They get scared. He gets in the boat. They go off. That brings us to where we are today. So the crowd says, where's Jesus? He was here yesterday. Well, let's go find him. So the crowd all hops in their fishing boats. Everyone hops on a ride with somebody else, and they cross over to the town of Capernaum, which is on the other side of the sea. And then this is where they find Jesus. And they find him. They said, Rabbi, where'd you go? Now, obviously, the crowd wants to be near Jesus. The crowd wants to go where Jesus is going. The crowd wants to be where Jesus is at. The crowd is moving around, following Jesus wherever he goes. And then they ask him this question, Rabbi, where did you go? Why did you come over here? Now, Jesus being Jesus, he knows their hearts, right? Isn't it a beautiful thing that Jesus knows our hearts? Isn't it a beautiful thing that Jesus can understand where we're at and our need for him? And our need for belief in him and our need that we have also needs as well. But look at Jesus' response one more time. Look at verse 26, Jesus' reply to their question. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. So in reality, why is this crowd following Jesus? Not really because they saw all these miracles, because they what? They want their next meal, right? They saw the miracle of him feeding 5,000 people, and now they say, all right, do it again, Jesus. Let's get some more food going. What else can you transform? Like, can you turn this water? I heard a story, maybe you turning this water into wine back in the day. Like, let's see what you got, Jesus. And Jesus says, I understand your heart. So we kind of are tempted to like look down upon this crowd, but really think about that for a second. Think about this idea for a second. What was the crowd after? Well, the crowd was after what? Their physical needs. But let's be real. Every single person in this room falls into that same category too. Raise your hand if you plan to eat food at some point today. Raise your hand if you plan to drink something to drink at some point today. Raise your hand if you plan to go to sleep within the next maybe 24 to 48 hours, right? All of us, right? We have physical needs, and there's nothing wrong with these physical needs. That's what our inner self wants. So here's your first thing to write down. We want our physical, supposed to say needs, my fault on that. We want our physical needs to be satisfied. So your first thing is we want our physical needs to be satisfied. But here's a beautiful thing. Jesus understands this. Jesus understands this innate desire for us to want something. What we call wanting something, worship. And we are meant to worship God, but we tend to find different things to worship sometimes too. So let's see in these next verses. Jesus is about to do some teaching here. He's about to do some teaching on the bread of life. This crowd is focused on the bread in life. You hear the difference there? Bread of life. Bread in life. Let's dive in a little bit further. What does Jesus have to say about the fact that he's the bread of life? Verse 27. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. See the two different kinds of categories there? You see the food that perishes and the food that doesn't perish. See, Jesus is saying that the Father has set the seal of approval on him and says, I've sent my son to kind of give you some information, and well, not just information, but something greater. We're going to talk about that in a little bit. But something greater, a food that endures to eternal life, a food that can be categorized as bread of life, not bread in life. All right, so Jesus has kind of given us our introduction. What does the crowd reply to? Well, the crowd says in verse 28, then they said to him, what must we do to be doing the works of God? What do we have to do in order to get this bread that lasts forever? Well, Jesus replies, anticipation's building. You think maybe he's going to give them a list of things that they have to be doing. They have to be going to synagogue, which is their church back in the day. They have to be reading their Bibles every single day. They have to be praying five times a day. What is this next thing that Jesus is going to tell them to do? Verse 29. Jesus answered them, this is the work of God. You ready? A little drum roll happening. That you believe. Everyone say believe. That you believe in him whom he has sent. That's it. Jesus says the way you get this bread of life is simply just to believe. Okay? So let's see if the crowd has started to track and understand a little bit. Look at verse 30. So they said to him, what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Then they tell a story from the Old Testament in verse 31. We'll explain that a little bit here too. It says that our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. See, in the Old Testament, there was a story about how all of their ancestors, the Israelites, they were captive in the nation of Egypt. But God redeemed them and rescued them through a guy named Moses. And he said, let my people go. And the Egyptian Pharaoh let all the people go. And now they have to start walking back to Israel. So they cross the Red Sea. And then they get stuck in the middle of the Sinai Desert. Sinai Peninsula, look at a map. This is where the people disobey God. This is where the people are not doing exactly what God says. And so he says, you have to wander around here for 40 years and be stuck here. And this generation, you're not going to get to see Israel. Your kids will. So if you know anything about the Sinai Desert, it's hot. There's no food there. Hardly any water, right? So these people need to be able to eat. So God says, all right, I got you. I'm going to send this thing called manna. And it's literally going to fall from the sky. Manna is a type of bread, but like the direct, like Hebrew translation, like if you look up the word manna in like a Hebrew dictionary, the direct translation is, what is it? Like they literally looked at it and said, what is it? AKA a manna. But God provided by sending this bread that literally just started raining from the sky. So this crowd, they reference this story and they say, okay, maybe we're tracking a little bit. It's kind of similar to what happened to our ancestors in the desert, right? But Jesus says, oh, you're close, but let me give you a little bit more information. Verse 32. Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses, that was their leader, who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, sir, give us this bread always. Jesus says to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Here's your next thing to write down. This Jesus says, don't believe in the bread in life. Believe in the bread of life. Here's Jesus' kind of big idea that he's trying to get these people to believe and understand that the bread in life is something that's always going to perish, and the bread of life is something that's going to last into eternity. But let's dive into the question that maybe you're thinking in your mind this morning. All right, Nate, I hear the little subtle two-letter word change, but like, what is the difference? What is the difference between bread in life and bread of life? Well, lucky today, guess what? We have the Bible to tell us. It's amazing, isn't it? So let's look at the next couple of verses. Here's what it says. Let's keep reading. It says, but I say to you, verse 36, but I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone, say everyone.
Everyone
who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. Everyone say eternal. And I will raise him up on the last day. Isn't that amazing? What is that saying? It's saying here in these verses that Jesus is the bread of life. This is your next thing to write down. Jesus is the bread of life that satisfies us forever. The bread in life is gonna perish. The bread in life is not going to be eternal, but the bread of life is the thing, the person, this concept, this idea, this, how do we describe it, that Jesus came down to be able to satisfy us forever. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a word for that, and it's a beautiful word because it means good news. It means the gospel. Here's the ultimate realization. The ultimate realization is that when God created us in the Garden of Eden, he created us with a purpose, right? He created us with a purpose to live in communion with him. He created us for a purpose to have a relationship with him, and he gave two people named Adam and Eve literally one job. Don't eat of this particular tree. If you do it, the relationship is going to be messed up. Well, then the devil showed up in the Garden of Eden, and he started talking to these people, and he was able to convince them to disobey God. And that had consequences. That had consequences because now the relationship has been broken because they have disobeyed God, because they've said that I know better than God. God has told me to do something, but I think I'm smarter than him. I think I'm better than him, because that's ultimately what they were saying, and the relationship was broken. So there's now separation from God. There's now separation from God, and there's a punishment for that separation. And that punishment is to stay separated forever. But here's where the good news begins to happen that we just read about in these verses. The Father, he had a plan. See, he didn't want us to stay separated. He didn't create us to stay separated. He didn't design us to stay separated. And he loved us enough to want to restore that relationship back. And so he came up with this plan. He said, I'm going to send my only son, Jesus, who is also God, and I'm going to send him down. He's going to have all of these I am statements about him, one of them being, I am the bread of life. And this bread of life is going to satisfy these people. But here's why it's going to satisfy. It's going to satisfy because once you partake of it, you're going to understand and believe the reality that Jesus lived that perfect life and maintained that closeness with the Father and never lost it once. And he didn't deserve anything negative or bad that happened to him. You see, part of the plan was that something bad would happen to him and that he would be accused and crucified and killed on a cross. He didn't deserve. But that's not where the story ends. That's not where the story ends, because yes, they killed him. Yes, they put him in the tomb. Yes, they put him in the ground. They buried him. But ladies and gentlemen, I'll build this up a little bit because it's like the best part of the story. Ladies and gentlemen, guess what? He got up. He didn't stay dead. He got up, and because he was raised from the dead by the Father, guess what? He's alive, and we can now have a relationship with him. And when we believe that that's true, satisfies us forever. And y'all, we're going to get to celebrate that in 2 weeks. 2 weeks when we come back to this very space, we're celebrating the idea that Jesus didn't stay dead and that we can have a relationship with him. And we're going to get a chance to invite people. We're going to get a chance on Do Good Friday, a week from this Friday, to go to downtown Fredericksburg and hand out snow cones and free food and have egg hunts. And if you're not signed up to be able to come and help out or even participate, stop by the Next Steps table. We'll get you plugged in to be able to be there that day, to be able to inviting our neighbors and the nations around us to this place so that they can hear this wonderful news about the gospel. It's amazing. But the thing is also, is that, well, sometimes we choose not to believe it. Let's look at a couple more verses. We'll be in verses 41 through 50. About maybe some more details as to maybe the opposite side of the coin. Talked a lot about the bread of life. But every single one of us knows that we don't choose the bread of life every single day. Look at verses 41 through 50. So the Jews grumbled about him. You think they believed? No. The Jews grumbled about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" See, Capernaum was Jesus' hometown after he moved away from Nazareth. So they knew his family. They knew his background. They knew who he was, but they didn't believe in what he said he was. Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble amongst yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your father ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that no one may eat of it and not die." So what is the bread in life, really? Well, it's anything that we believe in for our satisfaction other than Jesus. It's anything that we put our trust in to be able to sustain us and make us happy and to keep us going other than belief in Jesus. See, I'll tell a little personal story about how this relates to my life. Is that a lot of you who have gotten to know us and our family, you know that Marissa and I, we have two amazing, small, wonderful children. And you know that we have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old named Benjamin and Zachariah. We love them to death. But a 3-year-old named Ben, well, he's speech delayed. And he's not able to form words. We're able to kind of somewhat understand what he wants. He can point things. He understands us. But, like, he's not able to form sentences yet for us to be able to understand explicitly what he needs. And that is a tough, tough thing for us to be working through. And he's in speech, and we've got doctor's appointments lined up, and we're working on trying to get him the help that he's needed. We've got a cool little tablet for him now. But here's the reason why I tell that illustration. I tell that illustration not for you to, like, garner sympathy for us or for you to come up after church and say, "Oh, gosh, I know what that was like. It's going to be okay." No, I tell you that story because here's what God has told me. He has told me that a lot of times I try to find my satisfaction in being able to communicate with my son. I try to find my worth as a father and not a son of the Father. I try to find my worth and satisfaction in believing, hear that believing word, that if Ben starts to talk to me, it's going to make my life better than what Jesus has already made it. And that is not bread of life material. That is bread in life material. So even though it is an amazing thing to be able to hear a child talk, Jesus is so much better. So this morning, here's where I kind of want to land a little bit this morning, is that belief in the bread in life. Well, see the loaf that this thing makes. But it's kind of like this right here. It's kind of like this sandwich. Doesn't this look delicious? It's made from Allen. Another loaf was made, and two perfect slices were created. And in between it, we have roast beef, ham, tomatoes, cheese, cucumber, mayonnaise, mustard, extra onions, Pastor Brandon. It's amazing. And y'all, doesn't this thing look good? You can pick off the stuff that you don't like. Like, imagine yourself picking off maybe the lettuce, tomato, and onion that you don't like. And this looks like a good lunch, right? Like, be honest with you, this is probably what I'm having for lunch. And it's going to be great. It's going to be amazing. Like, Marissa made this for me, and I'm like, Marissa, you outdid yourself. This was awesome. But when I eat this entire sandwich, maybe not today, because it's huge, what's going to happen tomorrow? I'm going to be hungry again. I'm going to wake up the next day, and I'm not going to be thinking of that amazing sandwich that is able to satisfy me for the rest of my life. No, I'm thinking, where's the next thing I'm going to be able to eat? Because that sandwich does not satisfy me. What satisfies us is belief in Jesus as the bread of life. So here's our last verse. When we walk through this idea of bread of life versus bread in life, here's the last thing that Jesus gives us that we're going to talk about today. It's verse 51. It says that I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. See, bread in life, but ultimately, bread of life. See, this is also made from the same starter. But this is bread that's been what? Broken. It has been torn up. It has been put into little pieces. It's here. It's not one. And on either side of the stage here, we have something similar. Bread that was broken. Because here's the last thing for you to write down. It says that we remind ourselves of this truth. We remind ourselves of the bread of life through communion. Every single week, we get a chance together as a church, and we believe here that this bread and this juice that we partake on every single week is not actually the body and flesh of Jesus. Because did you hear in verse 51, though? He says it represents it. He says that I will give for the life of the world as my flesh. This bread of life, it's talking about his crucifixion. It's talking the fact that his body is going to be broken, that his blood is going to be spilled. And if you read in examples of the three Gospels of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you're going to find teaching there that Jesus says that I am the bread of life and I was broken, but you take in this bread and you drink of this juice in remembrance of what I have done for you. So this morning, we get a chance to do that. Worship team, y'all can go ahead and start making your way up to the stage as we begin to talk about some call to actions and some responses. You see, we have this idea that Jesus says, I am the bread of life, not the bread in life. So there's really a couple of responses here today. Well, actually, no, there's really just one response. You remember what it is? Believe. So if you're here today and you find yourselves in that category of knowing about God, maybe you're like convinced that maybe he was a great teacher or was a great person, but you don't believe that he actually was God. See, that belief, just like we've been talking about this entire series, leads you from not just knowing about Jesus, but from knowing him in a personal relationship. So if that kind of sums up where you're at in your interactions with God or church, or maybe you're coming from a bad background, the question then is, are you believing in Jesus for your satisfaction? Have you done that, or do you just know things about Jesus? Now, we here as a church, this is a church for you because we want to show you what that could look like to have a relationship with him, to lead you, because we can't save you, but we know a God that does. Or maybe today you're in another category where you say, all right, yes, I have made that belief. I believe that Jesus is who he said he is. I believe that he is God. I believe he is the bread of life. But I just don't feel satisfied, Nate. I feel a longing in my life that I can't figure out why I just have this insatiable need for something. I don't even know how to describe it, or maybe you do know how to describe it. Well, my question for you is then, what's your sandwich, right? What is the thing that you are believing in more to satisfy you other than belief in Jesus? What is the thing that you're placing your hope in? Is it work? Is it your family? Is it your finances? That's a conversation for you and God to be having so that you can identify the things and it's that is giving more attention to your belief system than Jesus. And y'all, here's the beautiful thing. We can't change that on our own. Our hearts are continually being renewed in His image, right? We can't change ourselves. Even after this belief, God continues to change us. So you can try harder. I want satisfaction from Jesus. I can do it. I can do it. No, you can't. Only Jesus can do it.
Hi, Pastor Brandon here. Thanks again for listening to our Impact Church Sermon Podcast. If God has spoken to you today or you have a prayer request you'd like to share, please email us at hello@impactfxbg.church. If you're local to the Fredericksburg area, we would love to see you for worship in person. But if not, please let us know if we can help you find a gospel-centered church right where you're at. Feel free to connect with us on Facebook or Instagram and on our website, www.impactfxbg.church. Until next time, keep living the dream.